The Old Testament lesson for the feast of the circumcision in name of Jesus is written in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the third chapter. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." This is the gospel of the Lord. "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Happy New Year, and a blessed feast of the circumcision in name of Jesus to all of you on this day, dear ones. You know, over the last several weeks, up to and including today, as the previous church year came to a close and now the new one has gotten underway, we've seen certain things come to the fore about Christ Jesus our Lord, which are essential for us, fundamental and foundational for understanding who he is and what he does to save us. These, by the way, are things that the one holy Christian and apostolic church has acknowledged and rejoiced in from the very beginning. And what I'm thinking of in particular is the threefold office of Christ. Here's what I mean. In the first place, we've seen Christ revealed as prophet. You'll remember that just before the season of Advent began, we saw especially how he prophesied of the fall of Jerusalem, of his final coming in glory, and of the many other things to accompany the final judgment. And in all of this preaching and prophesying, he does this as the prophet above all other prophets, the only prophet of his kind, in fact, because while all the other prophets spoke only what was revealed to them by inspiration, Christ Jesus speaks according to his own divine knowledge as the second person of the Holy Trinity. He preaches and teaches as the eternal Logos, the very word of God in flesh, and thus Christ is truly prophet. And so too, the scripture lessons over the last several weeks have also shown us that Christ is king as well. We've seen how, according to the flesh, Jesus descends from the royal lineage of David, and that according to his divinity, he's the only begotten Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in glory and majesty. And so Jesus is therefore David's son and his Lord, and Jesus has divine royal blood flowing through his veins. And thus today, on this feast of the circumcision and name of Jesus, we celebrate the occasion when he first shed his divine royal blood for us, and how he puts his priestly office on full display for us to see. Dear ones, today we see clearly Christ Jesus serving so early on, even while he was an infant, as our great high priest. You might ask, well, Pastor, what on earth does the circumcision of Jesus have to do with him being our great high priest? To which I would answer, it has everything to do with this. Because apart from being circumcised according to the law of Moses, how could he fulfill it for us? How could he then offer his whole life as a most holy, unblemished sacrifice to God to redeem our whole life and the whole human race, saving us from all our sins? Dear ones, already in his circumcision on the eighth day, we see him, Christ our Lord, submitting himself in perfect obedience to the law in our place and for our sake. Already on the eighth day, we see him fulfilling it for us and thus fulfilling the will of the Father who sent him. Our Savior was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, and him shedding his holy blood in his circumcision certainly preaches to us and to the world that his whole life would be perfectly pleasing to the Father, that Christ's whole life would be one of holy priestly service in obedience to the Father's will, that by actively doing all that he's commanded and passively suffering the punishment of those who don't, he would offer it all as a most fragrant sacrifice to God. Christ our Lord would objectively reconcile the world to him, including you and I. And our high priest would even go so far in his obedience as to shed his blood on the altar of the cross to fulfill the law as he did in his circumcision when he was but a tender youth. These things go together. They go hand in hand. And clearly we needed him to do these things because, dear ones, from the earliest days of our youth, even from the moment of our conception, have we not been soiled and steeped in sin? Some of you, maybe many of you, in fact, may struggle a great deal with the sins that you've committed in your youth when you were younger. Some of you may struggle a great deal with how you've lied and lusted and lived in every other form of impurity and defilement, particularly when you were younger. When you think of all the sins you know you've committed over the years, the sins you've forgotten over the years, and the sins you were never even aware of over the years. You realize, like the psalmist did, that you have well and truly been covered in sins, that they've gone up over your head. But dear ones, where sin has abounded, the grace of God in Christ Jesus abounds all the more. Our great high priest has fulfilled the law in its totality, and he shed his blood to cover and atone for all our sins, for every last one of them that we've committed, even from the earliest days of our youth, everyone. Christ's righteousness has been applied to you in full, and God's grace has been poured out on you in the saving flood of your baptism, in this lavish washing away of sin, dear ones. And why should anyone, I should ask, why should anyone search for the fountain of youth when right there at the baptismal font, you've been given the new birth of water and the Spirit? You've been given a circumcision made without hands, right there at the font. You've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Together, we've been baptized into new life in him, a life of putting off our flesh with its sinful desires and living unto the Lord. No longer do we serve and are devoted, no longer are we devoted to such things which are contrary to God and will pass away. No, every man, woman, and child here, every one of us baptized into Christ has been consecrated to God, a royal priest, to serve and be devoted to the living God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And what better life is there, dear ones, than that? What better life? Surely you now see why the whole life of Jesus as our great high priest, including his circumcision, is of the utmost significance when it comes to reconciling us to the Father and securing peace and eternal life for us with him. So Christ, dear ones, is truly our great prophet. He is our great king, and he is our great high priest. Give thanks to God for his circumcision and name today. Give thanks always and rejoice. And to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.